You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts, alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. All right, for many of you, your waivers have gone through, your first moves are made. How you feeling?
I didn't have I have one waiver run that's still going on, and that's okay. In the flex, man. I'm playing Steve Gallo for the championship. Obviously, fantasy executive, looking to go back to back, kind of my MO.
Okay.
One of the reasons why they brought me here. With that being said, I do have a decision to make this week. The guy Gallo, whatever, he has $5 left in Fab. I have $8, so I'm looking to maybe mix and match some pieces. I think I want to put Nick Foles on this team. Then I have a decision between Nick Foles and Alex Smith this week. I think one of them Keon, with that Keelani Cole or whatever tomboy name is out there too.
J-Cole.
I might put a dollar on him because I think DeSean Jackson might be out this week.
So with that being said, did you have a waiver run last night? Staten Island League, perhaps.
The Staten Island League did. Our opponent picked up Robert Woods and Martavis Bryant.
Robert Woods
on the waiver wire?
I guess he was cut back then. We haven't had money for the last few weeks.
And Martavis Bryant. You got two good pickers that could help you here. The championship.
He had beaten us.
Matt was like, okay, who you pick up? We pick up Michael Jordan. You're not going to win.
I love it. I went to the waiver wire last night, and I played a little offense. I played a little defense.
Nice. Who are you playing against, Greg?
I'm playing against my buddy Dan Weissman, former co-host with you.
Oh, Dan. All right, that's cool.
Dan. We're playing together in the finals this week. And so I picked up Nelson Aguilar off the waiver wire. I thought that could be an interesting start this week. Monday night, he's got a connection with Nick Foles a little bit. Nick Foles has completed more passes to Nelson Aguilar than any other player on the Eagles over the last couple of games. I thought that was interesting. Keelan Cole is now a member of my squad, just in case. And I picked up a couple of tight ends to block Danny Weissman.
All right, cool. That's a good job right there. So,
what tight ends you pick up?
Charles Clay and Ricky Seals-Jones.
The legend.
Those are the two tight ends we have in the Staten Island League.
That's why I grabbed both of them.
I have to go with the legend.
The legend. I would go with the legend.
Even though my friend last Sunday was like, screw this guy. Yeah. Charles Clay.
The legend only might play 5 plays, but he might catch 2 touchdown passes.
It's true.
I'm going with I like the legend this week.
Well, listen, I didn't want it to be against me, which is why I grabbed the legend.
No, I feel you, son.
And then I'll drop the legend on Friday. That'll re-pick him up, the whole deal.
How did homeboy get over here by me?
Mensch?
Yeah.
I put him back. I was putting the studio back together. I was like, you know what? He deserves to be that corner right there.
No, I'm cool with him over here.
Was last night the last night?
Last night was the last night. It is over. Hanukkah is over for 2017.
What you going to do now?
So my holiday's over, man. I'm going to eat Chinese food and see movies.
All right, I'm cool with that.
That's kind of how it works now, the rest of the way.
That's what I do on New Year's Eve.
That's your New Year's Eve tradition?
Yeah.
I drink. What do you do on New Year's Eve?
I stay home or I either go to church.
Really?
Yeah.
You go to church on New Year's Eve?
I try to start the year off on the right foot.
How long does that last?
The second. The second, I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough year. Well, there's some New Year's resolutions next week. I think that could be fun. But when we come back on the show, some of the main major headlines here from yesterday. I was going to talk a little strategy. I decided to play defense. We'll talk about that and what you can do on your team. We'll do that in hour number two. But when we come back, a bunch of headlines from yesterday around the NFL. It's the Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
No, 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 no.
So we speculated on it yesterday, and now it's coming to light, to truth, to fruition. Aaron Rodgers heads back to the IR after one game. According to Mike McCarthy, there's no setback. His shoulder's fine, but he got hit too much, and there's no reason to play him in a meaningless game. We sat here yesterday, and we talked about it, or 2 days ago even, and we said, hey, we get it. It makes sense. In fact, it makes too much sense not to play Aaron Rodgers. So if you picked up Aaron, and this is the crazy thing when it comes to injuries, and I always talk about this in baseball, in football, in basketball, when we talk about injury optimism, because we are always so optimistic that everything is going to go right, and it rarely does to the extent that you believe. And this is the latest example of it. You picked up Aaron Rodgers all those weeks ago, and you held on, and you held on, and you thought, I'm going to have Aaron Rodgers back in week 15, and he's going to win me a championship.
He gave me 30 points this week.
He gave you, and that's fine. He gave you 30 points this week. He gave me like 22 points this week in the four-point passing touchdown leagues, right? If I didn't have Aaron Rodgers this week, I would have had, I could have, and I did, have someone like a Blake Bortles, a Jimmy Garoppolo, who put up basically the same amount of points in my league. Blake had a little bit more. Jimmy had a little bit less.
Yeah.
But you held on to week 15, and just like that, it's gone. Right? Like, you're back in the same position you were just 2 weeks ago. And it's fine. You're playing right now, all is well. He didn't cost you anything. And I'm not saying holding on cost you anything. Maybe it didn't. Maybe holding on to the roster spot for the last 4 to 5 weeks meant nothing to you. But we're always so optimistic that a guy's going to turn from injury and be back to normal. For 1 week, he was good. 30 points for you, 22 points for me. That's great.
Yeah.
But now it's all gone.
No, it's all done and goes away now, but you got that 30 last week. I think you go ahead and bank that. As far as keeping that roster spot, you held the roster spot for Aaron Rodgers for a couple of weeks. He gave me 30 points. I held the roster spot for Corey Davis for 10 weeks. He gave me 10 points.
What's worse about holding the roster spot for Rodgers, like Corey said, you got 30 points if you start him. Was if you held Jordy Nelson. For the fact that you were hoping Aaron Rodgers came back. And then you played Jordy, and Jordy did nothing once again.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I think Jordy is a fine example. Corey Davis is a great example. That we're holding on to guys that are, all year, you may have held on to Jordy expecting Aaron Rodgers to come back. Jordy's not the same guy anymore. Corey Davis battled this injury all year, and he never got healthy. I truly believe that he is just not, I'm not saying he's not 100%, but maybe mentally he's not 100% to feel like he can just go on that leg.
And he's a rookie as well, so missing time is never good, especially when it's your first season. And Mariota struggles. I don't think Mariota's 100% neither. So Mariota basically either went to Delanie Walker or Matthews when he was on the field. Those were the two real passing options. I do agree with Matthews, though. Pretty much sending out a challenge to the coaching staff where, you know, let's speed it up. This is a new generation of football. Not saying you don't run the ball, but, you know, get the offenses going.
If they're going to run, they need more misdirection in the offense if they're going to run the football that much. Their running plays are very simple.
Yeah. They need maybe somebody like Lane Kiffin to come in and just start going for it all over the place.
Yeah, whatever it takes.
That guy was savage last night. Like, if you laid that large number, you would love it. This guy was going 4th and 9 at midfield.
Why not?
Yeah, absolutely. So Rodgers goes away, and this kind of changes everything. I'll talk from my own personal standpoint. Rodgers is gone. I went from starting Rodgers and Davante Adams this week and having to drop the Minnesota defense to starting the Minnesota defense against Green Bay and Brett Hundley, dropping Aaron Rodgers, and with Brett Hundley and Davante Adams plays, roads closed, everything has changed for me. Mm-hmm. For my team this week.
Yeah, I mean, look, Davante Adams has had a stellar season. Davante Adams should not play a game again this season.
Yeah.
There's no need for it.
He's
proven everything. He's done all that. If Aaron Rodgers isn't going to play, the season's over, there's no playoffs in the future, it would be a crime if this guy gets on the field. I mean, maybe he wants to get on the field, but that's when the team must step in and say, look, this is the best thing for your future. And even if he played, I would be coming off the concussion, no Aaron Rodgers, and roads closed. Those are three reasons to say maybe not.
Yeah.
Oh, I totally agree. There's zero reason to bring this guy back at any point this year. Let him just go make his money. Let this dude just go make his cash, please.
The Packers should re-up him.
I think the Packers desperately need him.
Yeah,
there's no Jordan's done.
He's a piece. He's a piece that they need.
And as a Davante Adams fan, like, I'd like him to stay. Just stay right where you are.
Outside of Aaron Rodgers, he might be the most important player on that team.
Arguably, sure. I think that there's an argument to be made for that.
Unless
sure.
you're going to make like Jordy the skinniest tight end in the NFL.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot coming for Green Bay. Their first non-playoff season in quite a long time. And I think there's
been
a lot.
That's good.
I think it's Rodgers' rookie season.
Rodgers, it's been that long. Wow.
That's good for them. It's good for them.
By the way, how excited are you for Sunday? Seattle at Dallas.
It's going to be a big one. I still need the damn Falcons to lose a game.
But they got two tough games on the road.
I know they do. So I'm hoping that it works out that way. And you know that one of those NFC South teams can lose two games, and America can win out.
If the Eagles can clinch home field.
And exactly, we shouldn't have to worry. But we'll get a Eagles team that's not looking for what they will get. An Eagles team that's not
started playing. By Nate Sudfeld.
Oh, that's wonderful.
In week 17.
I mean, if the Dallas Cowboys get in, I'm not. I would love to see Philadelphia the first round. Love to.
Yeah, you won't see him in the first round. You'll see him in the second round.
I would after the bye. I would love to go to Philadelphia.
Well, you gotta have to beat whoever. If you sneak in. Dallas heading to L.A. is a fun game, I think.
Yeah.
Dallas headed to, well, I guess, New Orleans. That wouldn't be so fun.
Probably. Or Tampa. I mean, not Tampa. Or Carolina.
Anything's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Anything's possible.
I'm all for it with Ezekiel Elliott.
Sure.
Bring it.
We're talking about Ezekiel 30 Elliott.
30 points a game.
We're talking about Ezekiel Elliott in just 5 minutes from now when we turn the cameras on for YouTube Live.
Glad to have him back.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
And I think he did a
he
smart thing.
Yeah. Those pictures.
And I know. I saw those. And I think, you know what? He's
so we'll go on YouTube Live.
Okay, yeah. All right. Thank you, Greg, because I want to talk about it.
I know you did, and I say that I want the cameras
to be
on. Can
we put a little crutches on Antonio Brown? Does this fun call?
Yeah, we got to get some bandages.
Okay, we got to put something on him. You just lay him down right there. That's where he's at.
He fell. Yeah, just put like one leg up.
Yeah, we gotta do something for Antonio Brown.
There you go, his leg's up. He's hurt.
Ashley, can you run to the store and get us a Band-Aid, one single Band-Aid that we can put on Antonio Brown leg?
Please don't do that.
Why not?
She doesn't have to. She's working.
Well, that's a part of the job, right? I'm the talent.
He sounds like Engel.
Right I'm the now. Talent.
Hey, get him a hot dog.
By the way, can you clean out the fridge?
True story, people. True story. TJ Jones. So a couple of guys that are injured, a couple of wide receivers that are injured that we didn't talk about in yesterday's show.
Staff will be going to get Frank that street hot dog at 6:30 in the morning for years. That's wild.
TJ Jones is done for the year. So one last time, Matt Modica, is Kenny Galladay a thing?
I think there's plenty of other options out there. Look, Golden Tate better be a thing this week.
Oh, my God.
You better not have to worry about Kenny Golden. You got Marvin Jones Jr., Golden Tate. So, I don't see how the hell you're starting Kenny Golden unless you're like in a 14 or 16-team league.
They got to be extremely
deep
rosters.
Shout out to those guys who play in those
games. Yeah, no doubt. Your boy, Robin Lundberg, Greg.
Yeah.
He was had a lineup decision this week for his championship.
Yep.
And he had to start Kendall Wright. The 16-team league.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what, though? If there's every week, I mean, Kendall White, he's got, like, what, 20
sure.
targets?
Sure.
Right?
Targets, yeah.
Absolutely.
And they got the Browns. Though the Browns might win it this week.
You know? I know you like the Browns this week.
Well, just that John Fox stat is great. Hopefully he goes 0-7.
It's a Band-Aid right here. Bitch.
You got a Band-Aid. How about that?
Who left a Band-Aid on the floor?
Actually,
it's looking like it's open, too. Hold on now.
You're good. That's from yesterday. You're good with that. It's clean.
You sure?
Yeah, I remember when he popped out of a bag yesterday.
Well, give me Antonio Brown.
There you go.
I do it myself. I got to do it myself.
You do.
I can't get Ashley to help me.
DeSean Jackson was on crutches in the walking boot after Monday night. We know O.J. Howard was kind of in a similar position. Opens up a lot of targets for Cameron Brait, certainly Mike Evans, but I have to ask Matt, much like Kenny Galladay, the man we go back to August with, Chris Godwin, is he a thing this week?
He's probably going to be a thing this week. Hopefully Mike Evans sees a ton of targets. That's one of the positives from Monday night, if we could take something positive from the Bucks, besides Jameis looking good. So you're hoping for that. But do I want to start Godwin in my championship game? Then I either lost Antonio Brown or another wide receiver that went down.
Devontae Adams went down.
Devontae Adams. So,
Sean
I mean,
Jackson, yeah, a lot of them.
I think I'll put the bandage.
I mean, but you're hoping you have a better option.
Just the wrong leg? Did I put the Band-Aid on the wrong leg?
I'm not sure.
Don't worry about it. It looks good.
Okay, thank you.
It looks
you
fine.
Get the picture.
Anyway, Corey, can you start Chris Godwin this week without DeSean Jackson?
I would be very... No, I can't.
Excuse me. I think it's better options out there. And I think you're looking at Chris Godwin. You're looking at a rookie. You feel what I'm saying? That's coming in. Not really a whole bunch of action all season. I mean, if the Buccaneers use him, doesn't mean that you should use him. So I don't think that he's going to be fantasy relevant.
I do like him in the future, though.
Yeah, I think he can be a thing.
Potentially in the future. Mm-hmm. Potentially in the future. All right, when we come back, turn the cameras on. We let you go off at Ezekiel Elliott here. Is it going to be like Aaron Rodgers on Ezekiel Elliott's comeback? Is he in shape? He likes to play himself in shape. Corey says it a lot. How is he going to be week 16 against Seattle? We'll tell you next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
This is the fantasy executive Corey Parson. This is Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman, and welcome inside Studio 34 here in Midtown Manhattan. We're getting you ready for the playoffs this weekend. And if you are in the playoffs and you have made it to your fantasy championship and you've had Ezekiel Elliott all along, well, you know what? Bravo goes to you. Zeke returns from his 6-game suspension this week. He is back at the ranch in Arlington. He is ready to rock.
Well, they're at the Star in Frisco now. They're not at Valley Ranch no
you're
more.
You're right. I'm sorry.
They're at the Star in Frisco.
Well, he's back in Dallas. He's back in Big D.
Yeah.
For Jerry
Jones.
He's
back in the country, actually.
That's right.
He's training
back in the country. Zeke is back, and he's back for your fantasy teams, most importantly. Corey, do you have an Ezekiel Elliott anywhere?
I got Ezekiel Elliott in my lineup, locked and loaded, ready to rock and roll versus Steve Gallo in the Flex PPR Championship this week. So, yeah.
How have you survived?
How have I survived? Yeah, I didn't. I just happened to get into the playoffs, okay, to be honest with you. I mean, I won. I had a 7-game winning streak.
I was the Kareem Hunt team.
Then I had a 6-game losing streak.
Right.
I got into the playoffs, and Kareem Hunt put up two big weeks.
So your team rides and dies with Kareem Hunt, basically.
But now it has Ezekiel Elliott to add to that.
Yes.
So you know what I'm saying? Got
yes,
that
it does.
Two-back set going again. So I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, the matchup, he's at home. So, you know, home cooking, obviously, in Big D. Now, when you look at the Seattle Seahawks defense, I mean, this is a team that just gave up 40 points last week. And they let a running back and Todd Gurley run all over them. Ezekiel Elliott and the Dallas Cowboys should use that same blueprint to go ahead and beat up on them this week.
Do you have Ezekiel Elliott anywhere, Matt?
I have him in the Staten Island League.
You do have him in the Staten Island League, and you have survived, and you have flourished without Ezekiel.
Yeah, I was kind of laughing on Twitter the other day. People were like, well, I'm so glad I had Ezekiel Elliott for my third place.
Consolation game, yeah.
I'm like, no.
I saw a lot of that, too, actually.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah.
And I'm more than happy to roll him out there. Look, I saw Sunday night as everybody else did. They showed some pictures of him training in Mexico.
Yeah.
Shout out to Zeke, because my training would have been tequila and tacos. But, you know, I'm excited to roll him. This Seahawk team is, the defense is bruised and battered.
Yep.
So this is, you saw what Todd Gurley did last week. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he's putting up 45. And I know he might not have his linemen. Tyron Smith might not be there. But Zeke is an uber talent.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you were watching the first couple of weeks when Dallas was struggling, and you've seen some plays where they did open up holes, and guys got, say, 8 or 10 yards.
Yeah.
Where if it was Zeke, that's maybe 40, or he takes it to the house.
Zeke cribs a lot of those runs. Matter of fact, also what Zeke gives you in the screen passing game, Zeke can always take one of those to the cribs. He was catching more passes before he went out, you know, due to suspension. So I just think Zeke's in a good spot right now. You got the suspension behind him. You got the team at full strength. So they got to win these two games. He should see the ball between 25 and 30 times this week.
Yeah, and the one thing I think that's not being said is the mental state that having Zeke gives to Dak Prescott.
Mm-hmm.
It relaxes Prescott. He knows he has his man there. His you know, these two together. Dak doesn't have to try and do it all. He can turn to Zeke. And what's Dallas's best defense?
Ezekiel Elliott running the football, killing the clock. Now here's the thing. The chunk plays come back to the offense too. You can't go on 14, 15 play drives because it's going to be a penalty. You're going to put yourself behind the chains at some point. When you put Ezekiel Elliott back, you can get a 15, 20-yard run. That's the thing that's been missing from the offense. Ezekiel Elliott puts that right back in there.
All right, so here are the obvious questions coming to Ezekiel Elliott. We opened up the show talking about Aaron Rodgers and the long layoff and holding on. You got one game out of him. Ezekiel Elliott, if you held on through this entire up-and-down season of his and wound up holding on through the entire six-game suspension, is he going to come back on Sunday and beat Ezekiel Elliott? That is the question all fantasy owners have.
Only thing that I can guarantee fantasy owners right now is that he is going to touch the football at least 25 times.
So that's my next question, right? Is he going to get the Ezekiel Elliott workload that we are all used to, where he's touching it 25, 30 times?
This is a team that's trying to get sneak into the playoffs. They know that that's their best player. That's a proven fact right now. They're going to feed him and continue to feed him the football.
You have said on many occasions that Ezekiel Elliott is a player that works himself into shape. Now, I saw all the videos that Matt's talking about down in Cabo and how great he looks. He's running on the beach and he's ripped and he's in the best shape of his life at this point in the year, at any time in his life, blah, 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 I get all that.
He did look leaner and stuff. He did look really good.
Not denying any of that. But looking leaner is a little bit different than football shape.
No
right?
doubt.
Than getting hit week in and week out and building upon that. Because he hasn't played football in 6 weeks, can he handle that workload?
Handle that workload, and I think you'll see it more in the fourth quarter. As they're trying to grind down the clock, I think Ezekiel Elliott starts beating up on that Seattle Seahawks defense.
What about the flip side? He hasn't played in 6 weeks. He's got fresh legs. These guys have been getting beaten and bruised and pounded on each week. And he comes in kind of rejuvenated.
Yeah.
And you got to think he's pissed off.
Yeah.
You know, he's basically the Cowboys, if they had Zeke, are probably in the playoffs. So he's got a chance. He's got a chance to really do something. And I'm excited that he's on my team this week.
Yeah, I'm glad to have him this week. I'll roll him out there with Kareem Hunt, that backfield. So, yeah, I'm throwing him out there. And as far as the thing, good job by him, too, you know, with the NFL did to him. You know, very smart. I don't know who got with him to go ahead and make a documentary of what he did this 6 weeks.
Probably Maverick Carter.
Telling his side of the story, getting that information out. You know what, Ohio State, you're right, so it probably was Maverick Carter. Telling his side of the story, getting his information out. The NFL and Roger Goodell, they don't want that information out there. So, good job for him. They silenced him. He went his own route to go ahead and put his message out
there. Well, I'll say this, why it was really nice, why it was really good of Ezekiel Elliott, because over the last 6 weeks, he wasn't on Twitter. Maybe he was on Twitter. I don't follow him. But, like, he didn't make headlines. He was gone for 6 weeks making this documentary, working his tail off to get better. And that's now the story after the 6 weeks, right? I do want to throw this out there, though. Ezekiel Elliott comes back. But there's a good chance from what I'm seeing, maybe you're seeing things differently, Corey, that Tyron Smith's not going to play this week. And he left last week's game with knee injury. There's no ACL damage. There's no MCL damage. But that knee has not been right for Tyron Smith all season long. What does that do to the Cowboys' offense? We had said previously, Matt, that, all right, if you have Ezekiel Elliott out, Tyron Smith out, I mean, it's a disaster for Dallas. You get Zeke back, but you might not get Tyron Smith back.
I'm still happy to have Zeke back. I think Zeke is that talent. Look, it's not optimal.
Yeah.
I would love to have Smith as well. But you're getting, as Corey said, he's going to touch the ball 25 times. I'd say at least 20. I'll put that bar there. This is it. The Cowboys know. It's, you know, win or you're done. The season's over. So I'm still excited. I would be even more excited if he had Smith. But I just think, and it's the defense that he's going up against right now, once a vaunted defense, one that you feared. The Legion of Boom is pretty much on the IR. Well, Wagner, even if he did play this week, is he the same guy?
You got turmoil inside that locker room again. So they're in a tough spot. Dallas has the win out, so you know, not having Tyron Smith is a thing. Speaking of not having Tyron Smith, he's another one of those dudes we talked about yesterday. He's too big. For his body to be like that. The only person I've seen at that size that can really be healthy all the time is LeBron James. other than that, these dudes are too big to always be healthy. You feel what I'm saying? Look how big your bones and body is. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be painful when something... And then you're kind of awkward, too. You feel what I mean? When you're that big like that.
Sure. The...
You're less awkward when you got that kind of money, though.
Yeah.
Are you
you're
more,
even better looking, too.
Are you more apt to play Dak Prescott now? You talked about how much safer he is with Zeke. Are you apt to play him this week in your final?
I'm still going to be a little apprehensive with Dak. I'm hoping there's some other options out there. You got the Fold... Bortles has another good matchup, right? San Francisco.
Bortles against San Francisco, yep. So, although their secondary has played better.
Though, so if you have better options, I'm going to look for a better option. But if I had to, I would. I have Cam and Dak, but it's Cam all the way for me this week.
So I agree. You brought up Blake Bortles. I think that's an interesting one. Would you rather start Dak Prescott or Blake Bortles this week?
I'm going back to Dak this week.
Okay.
Remember what Dak was when Ezekiel Elliott, the first half of the year, I believe Dak was quarterback 3 in fantasy. It just slows the game down so much for him. You bring that play action back. You bring that misdirection back. And that's the offense that Dak is comfortable working in. He's comfortable working in that offense. He was putting up top quarterback numbers, you know, as far as fantasy goes. So I'll go back to Dak Prescott this week.
Yeah, no, it's tough. Before Zeke had suspended, Dak was entrenched as a top five QB. And then the bottom fell out.
Yes. Literally.
Is that really literally?
Well, let's see.
To the bottom of the NFC East. Lives there. Well, sorry, the Giants are there now.
If you check the
good
link,
for them.
He has Dak number 7.
He does. He Jake Seeley, the all-in kid, he's got Dak number 7 this week. That is ahead of Ben Roethlisberger against Houston, which I think is really, really interesting. Ahead of Blake Bortles.
Jake is going to put him over road, Ben.
Yes, for sure. Ahead of Blake Bortles and ahead of Matthew Stafford. Getting a lot of questions.
I would go Philip Rivers over Dak this week.
I can see that.
We're getting a lot of Matthew Stafford questions. We're going to get to that coming up next hour in regards to Nick Foles as well. That's been probably the most common question I've had early this week. Has Stafford?
You wonder who's a nice starter? I mean, Jake has him as a QB1 because he's number 12.
Your boy Case?
Case Keenum.
It's your boy.
Against this Green Bay. I think he's the first Vikings quarterback I retweeted yesterday since like Dante Culpepper or somebody to have multiple touchdowns in 4 straight. Look what this guy's done.
Keenum is balling. Keenum is balling.
Has been all season long.
Yeah, he had the Coach Boone, you know, the Coach Boone treatment. You can't lose. If you lose, you're going. Remember the Titans.
He demands perfection.
Yes.
100%. It's my favorite movie.
Yeah. Oh, me too. It's one of my favorite movies.
Really?
Also.
I thought it was like 2 over the top. I had to stop watching.
I can quote every line from that movie.
Fourth quarter.
Get the damn ball, Petey!
I love Remember the Titans.
Oh my God, I love it. I actually went like researching Remember the Titans, like going into like their real history, what was different between
Kennedy's,
the history and the movie.
Kennedy's pop went to that school.
T.C. Williams.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
That is very interesting.
He probably was there during that era, too.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We're going to look at the king, Scott Angle, and see what he has to say in his sports. Stick around. More Roto Experts coming your way. Thanks for watching.
Wet.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's that time of the morning. We do it every morning at this time. And we bring in the King, Scott Angle. What's happening, King?
Good morning. How are you? You're working on a lot for Fantasy Sports Today, every day. Only 3 games in the NBA last night. But I'm glad I picked up Zach Randolph 2 weeks ago. I got to tell you that. I don't know what the Kings are going to do as far as his usage, if he's going to get traded, but he certainly helped me out with some injuries.
Yeah, there you go. Zach Randolph filling in with you for the Kings. He's had a much better year than I think a lot of people anticipated. So a little fantasy basketball talk to start us off here today. And for more of that fantasy basketball talk from the Kings, you can listen to Fantasy Sports Today each and every day, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern Time. And of course, on demand as well, iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you listen to your podcasts, you can listen to Fantasy Sports Today, hosted by none other than the King. But Scotty, You are in a predicament. Now, there's not much you can do about said predicament, but you're in a predicament. And that predicament is what you do in replacing Antonio Brown. And because you're in such predicament, you went on rotoexperts.com and you wrote an article about it. Your top 10 options for replacing Antonio Brown on the roster. So, let me start at the top. Let me start where kind of everyone's leaning initially, and that is with the Steelers, right? Martavis Bryant and Juju Smith-Schuster. Talked a lot about this on the BFFs program yesterday. And oddly enough, Scotty, three out of the four of us said we liked Martavis Bryant better than Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah, I don't like him better than Smith-Schuster. He is my top 10 guy, but Smith-Schuster's owned in a lot of leagues. Last night in CBSSports.com leagues, Martavis Bryant was added in 15% of leagues. You look at Juju Smith-Schuster with that big 69-yard catch and run last week. That's the kind of stuff that Martavis Bryant just hasn't been doing this year. Juju Smith-Schuster is their real play. Juju Smith-Schuster is their true big play guy. Bryant has to step up, and I think he'll give you certainly a good game. But I like Smith-Schuster better as a big playmaker now that the hamstring is recovered.
Yeah, so for me, I like both of them. I think you're right about Juju. But I think Martavis Bryant, now playing for his job, I think he's kind of gone way out of the doghouse now. And he has stepped up for Big Ben. And with that Antonio Brown, I think that confidence is there back with Martavis Bryant. And I think we see a few connections here this week.
Yeah, I like Martavis Bryant. I just like Juju better.
And that's fine. We can agree to disagree there because I do like both of them. Your second guy that you listed, someone that I know you've owned all season long in the league that you actually have Antonio Brown in. I actually picked this guy up this morning as a Davante Adams owner, and that is Nelson Agholor. As you note in your article, he has registered double figures in PPR leagues in each of the last four games, and he has three touchdowns during that span. With Nick Foles at the helm, he has caught more passes from Nick Foles than any other pass catcher on the Eagles. How much do you like Nelson Agholor this week?
Oh, I think he's a very strong start. This is another good matchup against the Raiders, another team that can be burned in the slot. So I think he's a very, very strong start. I picked him up, I think, in the fourth week of the season, and I didn't cut him. And you know, he certainly delivered. Some writers in Philadelphia talking about that they should make a case for comeback player of the year for him.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, he hasn't come back from an injury, but he obviously mentally was not all there yet last year with the drops. People wanted to run this kid out of town, the former first-rounder out of USC, and he stepped up in a good way, and I feel good for Nelson Agholor. Like I said, good enough that I picked him up off my waiver wire, and I'm considering starting him against that pass defense, like you said, Scotty, with Oakland, that just simply is not very strong. I believe you note that they are the 23rd-ranked passing defense are the Oakland Raiders. So certainly somebody that you can consider throwing out in your lineup. Another guy that you have been high on since the beginning of the summer is your boy Cooper Kupp. With the Rams going nuts last week and Robert Woods back, Cooper Kupp took a back seat. What makes you want to start him this weekend?
I just like the matchup a lot, and I think they leaned a lot on the run last week, and maybe they passed some more ball a little bit more last week. It was really just so much running the ball last week to where Kupp wasn't needed. I think against the Tennessee secondary, Goff is going to test the pass defense a little bit more this week. So I think Kupp can certainly bounce back.
Yeah, you know, I actually totally agree with that, that he can bounce back. But I'm just not that confident with Robert Woods back in the lineup. Because Robert Woods is clearly number one here. You have that PPR floor with Cooper Kupp. I just don't know how high that ceiling is. For a guy like Nelson Agholor, who I know you had ranked a little bit higher than Kupp as a potential Brown replacement, the upside is much higher, and I'm into that.
Oh, definitely. That's why I have ranked ahead. But when you look at the guys that I have behind Cup, they're all very, very uncertain. Whereas you talk with Cup, there's something of a floor. Usually, I think last week, Woods got his, but he was the only guy involved in the passing game. I don't think that's always going to be the case necessarily.
Another man that you have listed inside your top 10 replacements for Antonio Brown, which we read over at rotoexperts.com, is Kendall Wright. And we briefly mentioned Kendall Wright previously. And Wright, as you note, 17 catches, 188 yards over his past two games to Mitchell Trubisky. Now, Scotty, I drafted Kendall Wright. I looked at this Bears team, and I'm like, this is the number one receiver. I want him. And he's done nothing. But he faces Cleveland this week. A Cleveland defense that, as you say, has allowed 637 passing yards over the past four games. That's insane. And the Bears offense, with Wright and Trubisky, clicking a little bit better than they have at any point this season. How confident are you in Kendall Wright?
I'm not saying I'm supremely confident, but a lot of these guys I write about, you know, are not slam dunk plays, and in situations where you have to dig deeper. If you have a Robert Woods and you can easily slot him in for Antonio Brown, then you're not looking at this situation. But this is for people who have to dig deep. You can't be supremely confident in this, but the Bears have turned the passing game on more the last 2 weeks. Trubisky's starting to show signs of progress, and Wright has been his go-to guy, and you have to like the matchup.
You do. The matchup is good, but the name that everybody else is talking about, King, is Keelan Cole. Keelan Cole is riding this wave, as you put it, and without Allen Hurns and without Marquise Lee, everybody loves Blake Bortles this week. They have him ranked as a top 12 quarterback, and yet his number one wide receiver is out there in a ton of leagues. The 49ers have been top 10 in yards allowed to wide receivers over the past four games, and Keelan Cole had, what, 7 for 186 last week? He's a big play threat. He's a kick returner that could wind up in the end zone. Everybody is talking about Keelan Cole. Are you talking about him as somebody that you can actually play in your fantasy championship?
Yes, but I admit there is certainly some concern with this for two reasons. Number one, there's no track record. And number two, when I was talking about this on Fantasy Sports Today this morning, this is the kind of decision that could cost you a fantasy championship. You have to be careful about who you start Cole over. You don't want to start him over a more established wide receiver. You don't want to say, okay, I'm going to start Keelan Cole over, say, Larry Fitzgerald, for instance.
Sure.
Because that's the kind of thing that can cost you a fantasy championship. I'm not saying any of these guys are must-starts, and you can't say Keelan Cole is a must-start based on 3 weeks of performance where every week it's gotten better. Because you know, 3 weeks of momentum, he could easily disappear this week. Because when the other team watches game film and says, wow, this Cole kid's like, he's really coming on here, we're going to have to give him more defensive attention. How does he respond to that? And then does it become a Dede Westbrook game? So that's what you have to keep in mind when you're making a tight decision between Keelan Cole and another guy, or you're making a decision between Keelan Cole and, say, Stephon Diggs. You want to go with Stephon Diggs. It's very dangerous to have that sort of recency bias when it comes to a hot player, especially this deep into your fantasy playoffs.
Would you rather start Keelan Cole or Dede Westbrook this week, Scotty?
I'm going to say I'd rather go with Dede Westbrook. I think when I look at trends in the NFL, and the superstar wide receivers can always have two really good games in a row, but there are times where they don't. I don't know how much confidence I can have in Cole, whereas I feel like he's going to be more on the defensive radar this week, like I was saying, and I think Westbrook can bounce back this week. Both these guys could potentially have good games, but in a close decision, I'm still taking Westbrook. That's the thing, and you know it well. In fantasy football, people are always chasing last week. You can't just chase last week. You got to look forward. And when teams watch game film, they're going to see Keelan Cole. They're going to be spotlighting him. And the 49ers' pass defense is not the pushover it was earlier in the year.
No, it's not. I totally agree with that. They have improved. I like D.D. Westbrook more also because he's played more and he's the theoretical better wide receiver. And I really don't have a problem, depending on who your other options are, in starting either one of these guys. I think both good options if you lost Antonio Brown. Quickly, two more names that you listed that I think are very interesting. First is Mike Wallace, who has double-figure fantasy points in 5 out of the last 6 games and facing a brutal Colts pass defense. I like him. And I've been talking, not on the air, but off the air, about Tyrell Williams a lot because he is the deep play threat with the Chargers. And I know Phillip Rivers and Tyrell Williams aren't always on the same page, but there's a lot to like about Tyrell Williams this week against the Jets.
Yeah, and go read my reasons there. I don't want to give away the entire article this morning. But, you know, Williams is boom or bust. There are some other guys you can consider. We were talking about Paul Richardson yesterday. But it's also a mentality, too. It's, you know, people have to, you know, they overthink things this time of year. I got a tweet this morning. Are you worried about Joe Flacco because it's going to rain this weekend? And I look at the forecast. It's drizzling 7 miles an hour. Don't overthink things because you dealt with Antonio Brown on a bye week and you won. Just treat this mentally as a bye week and you just have to stream somebody else.
We'll talk to the King again tomorrow. We appreciate the time, Scotty. When we come back, a little baseball talk with Wall Street Matt Mojica.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Matt Mojica, Greg Sussman, Corey Parson. Throw a little baseball with you, Matt Mojica.
Let's do it.
And a name crossed my timeline yesterday. And I went, I wonder what Matt thinks about him. So that's why I wanted to use this time to talk about just that. And that has to do with Starling Marte. He was shut down from winter ball. He suffered a cut on his left hand, Dominican Winter League. He batted in the Winter League, he had a 255, a 310 OBP, a slugging 396, with 2 homers and 8 stolen bases. Last year was a brutal year for him. He got suspended in April due to steroids, and I felt like he never got back on track after that. Winter League gets cut short with his cut in his hand, obviously played winter ball in order to kind of get some at-bats that he didn't have last season. What do you think of Starling Marte? I'm usually a guy that's on him, but it seems to be trending the wrong way with him. Where are you on him?
He was a guy I really liked a lot last season. I still like him, though.
You're still in, okay.
It depends where his price is going to settle at. Look, if he's 15-30 with a .280 batting average or better, that's valuable. I mean, you're going to get 30 steals or more. I mean, in maybe 330-ish plate appearances, he stole just over 20 bases last season. So the speed is there. He's never going to be a 20 home run hitter. Maybe in this environment, if it stays the same, that's possible because everybody can really hit 20 home runs. But if you realistically look at like targeting 15, you know, anywhere from 12 to 15 homers, if you can get runs this year, you know, runs is a category that always goes overlooked.
Sure.
So I still do like him. I just need to see where his price winds up settling at.
Yeah, you know, I look at him and I'm just like,
I'll give you a player that I think can be Starling Marte.
Yep.
Who's going later, and a guy that I'm going
to. Where is Marte going right now?
You know what? I'll tell you in a second.
Okay.
A guy in San Diego, Manny Margot.
Yeah.
I think Manny Margot has the potential of a 15-30. I don't know if the .280 batting average is plausible there, but he's a guy that I really like. He had some improvements in that second half. He's young. He should, regardless if they move Will Myers to the outfield, say they sign an Eric Hosmer, he should still be a guy that does get the playing time. I mean, unless he just fell off a cliff. Marte is going, I think, like mid-fourth round.
Okay.
Which, you know, Would you rather have a Starling Marte or a Billy Hamilton or like an Andrew Benintendi? Those are the questions you're going to have to ask.
Personally, this is going to be interesting. I haven't done any research yet, but like I'd rather have the other guys than Starling Marte, personally, for me.
Yeah, no, I cannot. Andrew Benintendi, I do like a lot this year. I think he's another guy that, you know, the 2020 is there. The batting average should be there. So I do like him. It'd be interesting to see if the Reds do move Billy Hamilton,
yeah,
where he ends up. I mean, he's pretty much 60 stolen bases, but he's another guy that always seems to be injured. Never plays that full season for you as well, but he is extremely valuable because of what he does for you in the stolen base department, obviously.
Yeah. The stolen bases
he's are just dependent upon roster construction. If you feel comfortable enough that you can build the correct roster, you know, because you're going to have to fill in for power and the average and all that other stuff.
But the stolen bases are nice.
No, they're great. I mean, that's why Trey Turner is going third overall.
Oh, he's going third overall. Trey Turner went third overall.
In the two DC 400s I've done this year, he's gone third in both. And if you look at his last 126 games, he's had like 730 or so plate appearances. He's driven it. He scored 125 runs, and he's stolen 76 of 90 bases. And Washington should still be a good team next year. He should have plenty of plate appearances, plenty of opportunities to score runs, and plenty of opportunities to steal bases. Just him staying healthy.
Yeah, you know, I think that's the type of player that he is. I look back at Marte. I'm just confused on what I think about him. I have to read more and see what's going on up here with Marte. See if we can get back to where he was just 2 years ago when, like you said, you were extremely high on him coming into last year. And see if he can get back to that place. That's kind of the deal with Marte. And I think there's a lot to come still with Pittsburgh in general. Right? Will McCutchen be there? What will Gregory Polanco do this year? So I think a lot of questions with the Pirates in general. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Let's get back on the football. Get to your calls this hour. Play a little defense this hour as well. And a ton of lineup questions to answer throughout the rest of the program. It's Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.